Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. National League Division Series tied at a game apiece, and that seems like, I don't know, fourth on the list of stories this morning. Obviously, being tied at a game apiece, game three coming up tonight as we tape this on Tuesday morning, is the most important story. It is the only story. However, whatever. Listen, where would you like to start, Ryan?
Oh, I want to start right there. I guess the franchise that doesn't consider the Padres a rival seems pretty fired up about something that they perceive Manny Machado doing. And it all stems from what happened Sunday. In a span of about a half hour or 40 minutes on Sunday, a bunch of different things happened at Dodger Stadium. Unlike anything I've seen really in playoff baseball ever, you get Jack Flaherty starting for the Dodgers. I think we can say this. Said some terrible things to Manny Machado after striking him out, told him to sit the blank down with a word at the end of that. Shortly thereafter, Manny Machado and Flaherty are yapping at each other. Flaherty from the Dodgers dugout, Machado from third base. Yesterday, Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers, said that he had seen a video where it appeared as if Manny Machado threw a baseball at him after warmups that inning. And then a column this morning from Ken Rosenthal saying that this is who Manny Machado has always been. And I just think it's all very interesting. I don't know where you'd like to start, Kevin. You know Manny better than just about anybody. Is this criticism fair?
Okay, so here's the deal. And we got to go back to, obviously, Jack Flaherty hit Fernando Tatis Jr. And Manny was one of the main people that was upset with that, right? So that, right, like, charged it, right? And then, of course, Jack Flaherty yells at Manny, the Padres dugout, and Manny yelled back at Jack Flaherty. And then, you know, as you said, then there was the yelling at each other. And Jack Flaherty explained Sunday night that he was upset because Manny had thrown the ball into the dugout or toward the dugout. And Manny acknowledged he threw it there like he does a lot, that because there's a ball boy in either dugout. So yesterday, Dave Roberts says what he says about it being unsettling. He kind of said, like, there was no doubt there was intent behind it, but I don't know. I don't want to get inside his head. I don't want to say there was intent, but, you know, there was something behind that throw. Okay. The video, here's what I think. There's no doubt that wasn't just a toss into the dugout. Right. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Mm-hmm. The throw hit the ground. It didn't come near anybody. Mm-hmm. It was never going to hit anybody. But I don't think there's any doubt that Manny wasn't just like, oh, hey, here. And it would be like this floater that would, right, bounce to the ball boy. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Here's what there's also not any doubt about based on what baseball people know. It would not be being made a big deal of if it weren't the playoffs and the Dodgers weren't losing in that game and their manager wasn't trying to do something to, I don't know, take the heat off his team, to create a controversy, to put it on to Manny. I don't know. But this stuff does happen, right?
Yep.
It happens. And it's like, it's just not that big a deal. Or it's a big deal, but it doesn't become a big deal, if you know what I mean. And so, like, it's... it's the playoffs. This is what you play for. You do have national TV there. You do have people like Ken Rosenthal there. And it's going to be a big thing, right?
Right.
I think it's been clear since before the series that Dave Roberts in particular was trying to create a certain narrative about his team fighting and matching the intensity. And they look like crap on Sunday, right? Not just because of the 10-2 score. They just, Yu Darvish made them look bad. Yu Darvish, who was sick, by the way, made them look bad. And I just think that Dave Roberts has something of a mission here, something, anything to spark his team. Here's the thing. It's kind of playing into who the Padres are. I think one thing David Roberts wasn't wrong about is the Padres, it's not their primary thing, but they certainly don't mind being seen as the villain.
Right. Especially when they're playing the Dodgers, right? I mean, it's funny from a payroll standpoint, from a market standpoint, from a lot of different standpoints, the Padres really don't take a backseat to anybody anymore. But man, they take a backseat to the Dodgers, just in terms of the Dodgers spend, the Dodgers find ways around things, you know, and frankly,
the Dodgers have been to the playoffs 12 straight years.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, right. They're the big brother. They are, you know, and of course it would be like a little brother to relish kind of the needling, right? And to me, that's where that comes from. It's funny what Dave Roberts said yesterday also sort of takes away from the fact that a playoff game had to be postponed because the Dodgers fans were throwing baseballs and beer bottles at the Padres.
Yeah. That delay. So all after all that, then the delay comes in the seventh inning. And I don't know. I will not try to get into Dave Roberts' head. I mean, there was a lot, like, that was bad, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was bad. And let's just say this. Like, I think the umpires handle it as well as they can. It's one of those, like, no-win situations. I think security, fine. They handle it as well as they could. Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's 50,000 people and there's going to be some knuckleheads. But, like, what if after all that, you, Darvish, who had to warm up, stop, wait, had given up three runs and tied the game?
Right.
Like that would have been a travesty. Right. Yes, you would have had to say, well, Padres, like, winners find solutions, right? Right. And regardless of circumstance, you have to do what you do. And to their credit, they did, right? But if it hadn't gone their way, I think there would have been some justifiable, like, hey, how did that game continue? Like, how is that okay?
There's a major league rule that says that if a game is postponed for 15 minutes or more because of the home fan, the visiting team can be declared the winner. What if that happened? It wouldn't have happened. There's TV to fill. Yeah, it's a TV show.
And it's the stakes are just so incredible. And right. I do think that, like, that's a rule that must have some gray area. But yes, right. That's what I'm saying is, like, man, that's a no win for everybody from Rob Manfred down to the umpires, man. That's a no win.
But sure. Can I throw a conspiracy theory at you or maybe just an offbeat thought?
Yes, do
it. Is it possible that Dave Roberts knows exactly what he's doing here? And that by talking about Manny Machado yesterday, knowing the national narrative around the Padres, around Manny Machado, et cetera, that by talking about it, maybe people wouldn't dig deeper into Mookie Betts' struggles as a Dodger in the playoffs. Freddie Freeman, who exited the last game midway through and may not start another game in this series, the Dodgers' terrible starting pitching, et cetera, et cetera. Is it possible that this was a Dave Roberts comes out and essentially just takes the arrows? That way nobody's looking for Freddie Freeman to see how he's doing.
One of Dave Roberts' primary jobs is to do stuff like that.
Right.
He's the conduit. Right. Between the players and management. He's the rah-rah guy. He does make some decisions. I think that based on what I understand, it's one of the more structured managerial jobs. But, like, one of the main jobs of a guy who has, like, five beat writers always on the road, a full-time radio traveling beat writer also, like, that has a $300 million TV contract where they've got, like, six different TV shows about the Dodgers on Spectrum or whatever it's called. They've got, like, they're on national TV all the time, that sort of thing. Is to be something of a lightning rod, is to create narratives, is to do that. So I don't know that that's all that off the wall, Ryan. I don't. Yeah. I think that's, like, but you got to be careful too. Like, maybe, look, the only thing that's going to determine whether Dave Roberts was a genius or an idiot is whether the Dodgers win the series, right? Like, afterward, it's like, I'll guarantee you the Bill Plaschke column, right? What a genius he was, right? Sure. If they win the next two games or two of the next three. But, like, it's dangerous because this is the kind of thing that the Padres have responded to in the past. Right. But hey, maybe you got to shoot your shot because you and I here transition to baseball talk, like, these next three games, I mean, if you had to pick a team, I think you'd be crazy to pick the Dodgers. Now, I'm not saying the Dodgers are talented. The Dodgers could easily win this series. I'm saying that if you are looking at it on paper, they're pitching. Yeah. Freddie Freeman, maybe. Mookie's in a slump, but I'm mostly going with that, like, the Padres pitching going forward in this what is now a three-game series is just their ability to get through this series and be the superior pitching side is just greater.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, the counterpoint to that, I guess, is that one game can change a ton in a five-game series. We would not have had this conversation Sunday morning, right? We would not have said this was the Padres series to lose Sunday morning, but then everything flipped. And, you know, now the Padres are coming home with a chance to, I mean, it's just like 2022, right? They took game two in LA. They come home with a chance to, if they can win tonight and tomorrow, not have to go back to Dodger Stadium, not have to face that crowd again. And at least on paper, I think they have A, the healthier roster 1-9, B, better starting pitching 1-9. And that starts with tonight. Michael King going up against Walker Buehler. Michael King put together one of the great postseason starts in Padres history. Against Atlanta, it was 11 strikeouts over 7, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And looked every bit the ace that Kevin Acey has been saying he was. What do you make of sort of that performance, and how do we think he matches up against the Dodgers?
Well, Dodgers, let's see, he had one good and one bad start, I think, against them. I'm going to just cop to the fact that I had time blocked out to do my homework on this for this podcast. And then I said, you know what, we're going to spend most of our time talking about this garbage. So I'll just wing it when it comes to actually nuts and bolts about baseball on this podcast. But I'm relatively certain that there was a real good start and then there was a not so good start. Right. Also, Shohei Ohtani, I believe, has three career homers off of him. Again, just got to be careful. You're facing the Dodgers, man. This is not a tired Braves lineup, and it's a better lineup than the Braves. So, but, you know, Michael King's a really good pitcher. So this is a part of the reason that you would be saying, if you had to, you know, pick a team here, it would be the Padres. There, Michael King's a big part of that. And then Walker Buehler, who has not been Walker Buehler, like the Walker Buehler of a couple years ago, you'd be like, oh, wow, this is going to be tough, man. The Padres do not win against Walker Buehler. But that's not the case post-Tommy John, plus then what was a hip injury this year. That's just not the case.
Right. And that's the narrative that people aren't talking about because they're so busy talking about Manny Machado today. The Dodgers, their starting pitching of 2-3 years ago was much more intimidating. I look back at the 2020 playoffs, the year the Dodgers won it all, and who the Padres were throwing out against the Dodgers in that series. I mean, there was a very narrow path to victory. Let's put it that way. Here, it does seem like the Padres are holding all the cards. I mean, the Dodgers have Shohei Ohtani. Oh, my goodness. Mookie Betts, who despite his struggles, I'm still taking very seriously if I'm them.
Yeah.
Their bullpens, I think, are about even. And I would argue that at least today, the Padres have the far more consistent starting pitcher and the better one.
Yes, I would say that I'm wondering if we're giving enough credence or enough credit to the Padres or the Dodgers bullpen. I think it's really good. I think it's really deep. And I think it's been pitching well lately. Right. So get on Walker Buehler, just like you've gotten on the four starters. You know, what the Padres are doing in the first two and, you know, I guess three innings is remarkable in the postseason against the Braves and the Dodgers. So get on them. And then, let Michael King go to work, because then you're really set up. If Michael King gives you six or seven, and especially if you have a kind of a blowout situation, but whatever, he gives you six or seven, you close out this win, you're really set up for game four, because the Dodgers, you know, are going to go with Landon Knack. Right. And then they're going to pull Landon Knack as quickly as possible if things are going bad, which is possible. And the Padres, hey, look, they don't have a number four starter that they're real comfortable with either. You know, I don't know that my understanding is Martin Perez is not going to start. But if he does, one time through the order maybe is what I think the Padres are comfortable with. But they're still much better set up than the Dodgers on paper.
Sure. Is that Craig Stammen who's going to start tomorrow? I still would argue a underrated moment in Padres history, at least talking about the postseason. Craig Stammen comes out in a bullpen game. They're getting killed for the idea, and then they win.
That's all. It's what they had to do, which is why you knew they weren't going to beat the Dodgers in that next series. Yes.
Exactly. Is there anything that Michael King can learn from the way Yu Darvish attacked Shohei Ohtani?
A splitter?
Seven pitches, four arm angles. Yeah, sure.
How about do not throw balls down the middle of the plate?
Yeah.
Throw fastballs higher to Shohei Ohtani in that situation. You try to get Ohtani out of the zone. Well, you try to get everybody out of the zone. So, duh, Kevin. No, you just don't mess around except on the edges of the zone with the right pitches against Shohei Ohtani. I think that's about all, right? Man, that was masterful. I would rather watch Yu Darvish pitch a game like that than almost any pitcher throw a no-hitter. Besides Yu Darvish throwing a no-hitter would be Nirvana. And go back and look at the way he attacked every batter. Like, it would be incredible, because there'd be it was just brilliant what Yu Darvish did.
It was a throwback performance. And, you know, this was pitching. You know, this was something you'd see mid to late career Greg Maddux doing, right? I mean, different arm angles, different looks, attacking different guys different ways. It wasn't just, hey, I'm going to throw you my best pitch, try to hit it. There was some real thought behind it.
You got it. That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's like, wow, what was you thinking there? Oh, wow. Like, what was the batter thinking? I mean, it got lost in all this other stuff. There was halfway through that game, half of my story was Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
And then all this other stuff happened, and okay, well, you know, but like that was just a wonderful performance.
Sure. I think other things that kind of get forgotten when we talk about Sunday's win, it has to be Fernando Tatis Jr. He seems to play well in the playoffs and does especially well at Dodger Stadium. Seems to be a lightning rod, to use a term that you had used earlier. He just continues to, I think, impress in all facets. I mean, his running catch in right field, you could argue, was an early turning point in that game on Sunday.
Great point. Real nice. That could have been different, just like Jerkson Profar's catch of Mookie Betts' almost home run was huge. Could have been a much different 1-1 is at that point at Dodger Stadium after going up 1-0 again could be a difference. Things change like that in baseball. I was just talking with someone yesterday. There's 180 different points that most of us are not aware of. Most of those times that a baseball game changes or could potentially have changed. And you're right. That was big.
The double play line out to Luis Arraez early, I'd put on there too.
Absolutely. Obviously ball hit to the right place there, but then Luis makes a really nice throw and then they make a nice play back at first base. Excellent. 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 So, and when I said that, I was talking to you, like, excellent point on that excellent play. Tatis, I saw another story by someone I respect, and you know, you're making a point. I'm not going to try to assign that what this writer meant, but he's talking about Tatis being something of a lightning rod and the dancing and all that. And it's like, that's lightning rod? Like, where are we? 1998, 1974? Like, what? Like, you know what else? He's also like talking to kids that are out there in right field. Jerkson Profar and him are also giving balls to players. Jackson Merrill's playing Rochambeau with people out there. Like, I mean, what terrible people they are. Like, what taunters they are.
Right.
Like,
right.
Wait a minute. It's okay for an entire stadium to boo and for people to yell obscene things and players can't like dance and blow kisses sarcastically? I don't know, man. And I don't care what side you're on. I don't care that you're a Padres player. I happen to cover a few of the colorful guys. Okay. There's lots of colorful guys in this league. And it's like, it's just bizarre. Like,
but this is baseball's problem. In my opinion.
Yeah.
This is baseball's problem when, you know, they have a hard time marketing players nationally. When guys do step outside of themselves and show emotion, or even if one of those emotions is, I don't know, anger, right? Even if some of those emotions come with salty language every once in a while, there's adults say salty things. When these guys kind of step into the spotlight with all these things, there's a segment of the population that says, okay, tone that down, right? You know, Fernando Tatis dances in right field at Petco Park when the Padres are winning too, or when they're losing too. I mean, you've seen more Fernando Tatis probably than any journalist alive. I'm not sure he has ever sworn at a fan. I'm not sure he's ever done anything more than what we see on a daily basis. What you see is what you get with him when it comes to the fan interaction, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I'm not at all. I'm not arguing anyone's a saint. I started this by saying I really do believe that there's evidence that Manny threw with quote unquote intent toward the Dodgers dugout, not intent to hurt anyone, not intent to actually hit anyone, but like, this is, you know, I'm pissed off. I'm charged like a guy does when he makes an error at third base. Like a guy, like just maybe a little harder. So like, I'm trying to just point out that I'm being honest about the team I cover, but like, look, I remember when Bryce Harper first started coming into the league and doing the hair flips and all that. My first reaction, what was I in my 40s then, my early 40s? And I really was a, you know, coaching little league and being an old guy, like act like you've been there before.
Right.
But I remember instantly almost, so over the course of a season going, no, this is really cool.
Yeah.
We're talking about baseball dying. And here's a guy that is, you know, doing this. He's awesome. And he is theatrical. I think is freaking awesome. So I remember that moment for me. And I think a lot of people, maybe you, Ryan, you're 10 years younger than I am, but like maybe a lot of people have had that moment, but a lot of people haven't.
Right. And you know, it's funny. You and I were talking off air. So much of this just depends on which team you're cheering for. If you're a fan, right? You know, the Dodgers, how many Dodger fans are still wearing t-shirts that say, go get it out of the ocean, right? From when Max Muncy took Madison Bumgarner deep and they were yelling at each other as he rounded, right? So that's okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, the Padres danced too much on the field. Didn't the Dodgers have some sort of a like battery powered bubble gun and disco machine 2 years ago every time they hit a home run? This happens. This happens throughout baseball. I think.
Hey, let's stop right there, Ryan. I'm sorry. Keep your thought, please. But yeah. Padres fans have thrown things on the field as well.
Yes.
Like I'm just saying, right? There's stuff.
Right. And that was going to be my final point.
Okay. I'm sorry.
The only thing that I thought was sort of out of line Sunday, really for either side, was the fans throwing stuff on the field. That's the extent of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure that the fans are throwing stuff at Jerks and Profar or at Fernando Tatis. I think that this could be a fan base that is frustrated as hell with the baseball team that plays there, that through some cases, no fault of its own, just injuries, isn't the 100-win team that everybody was promised. That really has not looked great through the first two games of the playoffs. And that is now two losses away from sort of continuing this reputation that they've earned of being a team that underperforms in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're in the playoffs, and this is where the season basically starts for a lot of them.
Right. No, you're right. You're right.
They're on the edge, and here are the Padres, who basically used to be like the perfect night to, you know, celebrate there. Yeah. So, yeah, I think probably all of it goes into it. I know you didn't mean this, like, or imply that that no one was throwing at Profar, that it wasn't dangerous.
No, no,
you're
no, no,
the
no,
one
no.
who pointed out to me earlier a video showing a fan from the upper deck, and it's like, right. For an idiot who probably was drunk, he came a little too close to Jurickson Profar. Like, Jurickson Profar could have been hit by something that was going, at that time, hard enough to hurt him.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. But what I'm saying is,
I know,
hard to judge intent, especially of drunk people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not necessarily sure that Jurickson Profar is public enemy number one to Dodgers fans. I think that, you know, that's where a lot of the jawing happened. And I don't know. The thing I loved,
and maybe I'm just a weirdo who like really finds human behavior fascinating, that the boos for Jurickson and Profar got louder as the night went on.
Right.
What did that guy do? Like
the world's greatest play. Yeah.
So I'm not holding 54,000 people. Like, not everybody there is a knucklehead, right? Like, right. A lot of them would absolutely condemn the whatever, half a dozen people that threw something on the field. But right. Like an awful lot of them were then like on those people's side to a certain extent by like booing at Jurickson Profar. Like, it's just funny. Like,
and it's funny to me too, a little bit. How has Jurickson Profar found himself lumped in with Machado?
Well, I will say this. Jurickson Profar is that guy. By the way, so is Jack Flaherty. There's a guy, at least one guy on each team, who's a really good guy.
Right.
In between the lines, man, he wears it on his sleeve, and he is absolutely going to rub the other team and the other team's fan base the wrong way. Absolutely. That is Jurickson Profar.
Right.
Like,
that's the Washington
Jackson
Nationals.
Merrill. Jackson Merrill is just like the most down-to-earth and mature 21-year-old probably that you could find. It's like, he's an idiot, meaning it in the absolute most loving way,
right.
You know, and I'm talking about him taunting the fans after catching the home run ball, you know, and just the team sort of coyly sometimes acknowledges, yeah, Jerkson's always in the middle of it. We love him. We're going to back him up. Like, and they do. And mm-hmm. So that's who Jerkson is. And that's why he would wrangle. I know exactly what you're saying though, is like, how do you possibly rise to the level both of stardom and of infamy as Manny, who, by the way, has some incidents in his past.
Sure.
That you then don't get the benefit of the doubt. Absolutely. The Dodgers fans booing Manny and hating Manny as much as they do, I find to be one of the most hypocritical things in the world. They would love him if he played for his team still, if he played for their team still, right?
Right.
But Manny does have some things in his past that, hey, I got some things in my past that with certain people, I don't get to say, hey, why aren't you giving me the benefit of the doubt?
Right.
I mean, that's just life. I'm sorry. But but then also we do need to judge each incident to a certain extent on its own. And And this one is like, way too much here.
And you've written about this, and there was a little bit of this on Sunday too. I think to say that this is just the latest, and I believe the word punk was used in the Rosenthal column, to say that this is just the latest episode for a guy who hasn't matured and hasn't learned, I think is to take away some of the good things that Manny Machado has done this year. Starting with Sunday, by the way. Who's to say whether the huddle in the dugout was needed, but he gathered the group up, and you know, if what he said was if what we heard about it was true, it was keep your emotions in check. The only way they lose this, you know, Padres lose this game is if people's emotions get out of hand. That's not something we would have seen 10 or 5 years ago from Manny.
How about this? What if Manny knows, and we're getting off here, but that's what we do here. I mean, that's what we do. Or that's what people do. It's what we're just having a conversation here between friends. Sure. What if Manny knows, hey, I need to get my emotions in check.
Right.
So then as a leader, he wants to remind his teammates they need to keep their emotions in check too. What if?
Interview he's done in the last 36 hours, he's the one who comes off looking sane. And it's not the Dodgers, right? It's Manny Machado being like, well, in the heat of the moment, you know, hey, we're all competitors. Hey, it's fun. How great is ball? Kind of a thing. And then you've got Dave Roberts saying that he felt, you know, angered and threatened or angry.
Well, this is going to be great because remember, Mike Schilt and Dave Roberts will address the media today. Jackson Merrill will address the media today. because in the playoffs, the clubhouse is not open before games. It's open afterward. And so we talk to people on the field, but it's more difficult to say, wrangle them, find them, that sort of thing. But these guys will be up on the dais and have no way to escape. And so it'll be interesting. You know, I mean, Mike Schilt will defend his team, but probably not talk very much about it. But he is also the guy who has been like, no, we're ballers, man. And you know, he defends his team. And so that will be interesting. Jackson rarely holds back. I don't care who gets in his ear about Jackson tells the truth. And then Dave Roberts is the one who lit the match. So, you know, he's going to have to talk. It's going to be interesting today. And then, there's a game at 6:08.
Yeah. It's as atmosphere goes, I think it should be good. I guess that's where we'll leave it. You were there in 2022, Kevin. You've been, nearly every Padre game at home since you've started on this beat. I mean, we're talking less. You've missed probably less than 10 games at Petco, right? Over the years.
Oh, maybe less than 20. Home is where I can take some days off. So we're talking about quite a bit. But yeah, maybe less than 20. Sure.
I mean, what's the bar that it has to clear that we have to clear here for tonight to be the biggest game in Petco? Is it the Dodger playoff game of 2 years ago?
Yeah. I mean, and it'll hold the record for if they win tonight, it'd hold the record for one day because tomorrow would be completely bonkers. Right. But yes, it has to be all the small things rain clinched the NLDS in 2022. That's the bar. It doesn't get any better than that. This is the kind of night that makes fans forever. I was remiss to not have put this in the Padres Daily the other day because after a drive home and then it was basically 6 a.m. by the time that thing got put up. A little cheat here is that the timestamp, you get that Padres Daily in your mailbox at 6 a.m. I don't finish at 6 a.m. and hit send every day. I'm not that good. Most days it's a couple hours before that. That was basically hit send. So I forgot to put this in. And this was an important point to me. The 6 home runs hit the other night in that memorable game, right? The record tying for all of MLB postseason, 6 home runs in this emotionally charged game came 40 years to the day after Steve Garvey's home run. Yeah. Steve Garvey's home run is what made me even know the Padres existed. I was a Yankees fan to that point. Dave Winfield had left for the Yankees. My dad grew up in New York. In 1970s and early 80s, the Yankees were on national television all the time. I was a Yankees fan. Steve Garvey hit that. I wouldn't say I became a Padres fan. I became a Padres follower, a rooter of the Padres. But I will tell you that much like you with growing up with Tony Gwynn and then the 96 and the 98 teams, the playoffs are what make lifelong fans. Moments in the playoffs are what make lifelong fans. And so that's what Sunday was for a bunch of 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12-year-olds. And that's what tonight, man. What if somebody's just scored a ticket and it's their first game? right? And they go to the night's game, and it's insane.
Right.
Like, that's – and the Padres win, man. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of stuff that builds lifelong fans, where then you start to see Phillies type of stuff, Yankees type of stuff, Orioles type of stuff, Red Sox. Like, that's what tonight's game is.
Absolutely. Let's leave it right there. That's a great place to finish. Kevin, I don't know when I'm going to be talking to you on this podcast next. Maybe it will be advancing the National League Championship Series. Maybe it will be looking back at the end of the Padres season. But whatever it is, I'm looking forward to it. And tonight, tomorrow night, Petco Park, games 3 and 4 of the National League Division Series, Padres Dodgers. Be there. And shameless plug time. You can read everything you've ever wanted to read about the San Diego Padres at our website. Google the San Diego Union Tribune sports page. Great stuff from Kevin, from Bryce Miller, from Jeff Sanders, from Kirk Kenny, from Tom Krasovic, et cetera, et cetera. And also, if you don't already, subscribe to Kevin Acey's Padres Daily Newsletter. The Padres Daily Newsletter is 100% free. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.